fellow baseball nuts, and a big warm welcome. This is the 2026 version of the Johnny and Josh podcast, baseball at its very best. Now, the bad news, there's no Dave, there's no Eric. They're off all over the world. The good news, the main man is in the house, JC, fresh from across the pond. How are you, big guy? You good?
Gouldy, it's good to see your never-aging face. You just, you're immortal, my friend.
Well, buddy, clearly I've got my camera on. It's just slightly off focus deliberately. So it's
looking
a little better than
real. You got the filters. You actually look like a little puppy dog ears and a nose.
Hey, I discovered filters. I discovered what you could do. There was, like, you know, portrait mode and showbiz mode. There was all sorts of exciting.
That's where the permatan is actually fake now, right? If I saw you in real life, you'd be pale as a ghost.
No, it's not fake. It's, you know, backwards and forwards to Dubai with the big move around the corner. I mean, only I, let's face it, you remember me referenced as Johnny the Jinx, was that nickname that followed me around for many a year. You know, I'm the only person, every train I'm on's delayed, every flight I go on is cancelled. I don't know what it is, but I am a living jinx. I never thought a world war was going to be part of that conversation. But the minute I mentioned moving to Dubai, bang, Donald goes crazy.
What I love, Gouldy, is only you would see geopolitical events as somehow being connected to your life.
Yes, exactly.
So, like, that this is all happening to somehow undermine your personal needs and desires.
Exactly. One of a kind. Irrelevant, all those poor people that are suffering in a war zone. You're absolutely right. Are you well, buddy? How's the family? All good?
Yeah. I can't complain. You know, I'm going to be out in the UK next week, so that'll be fun. And
this is with regards to the kids and
universities?
So what's the update?
My daughter is nearing the end of her sophomore year, so we're going to look at unis for her. My son's just close to finishing his second year at St. Andrews. And
is he loving it?
Yeah, it's been a great experience. Absolutely.
And I imagine you and the lovely Jen, you must love coming over. I mean, St. Andrews, what a beautiful part of the world.
Yeah. This trip, we're going to go look at other places for our daughter. But we love the travel. We miss the UK.
All my love to everybody. Well, it's great to have you on board, buddy. And we're just going to keep this simple. We're not going to down the usual formula. We'll be doing that once we get the boys back. But we're just going to talk, first of all, about what's been happening in the off-season. They refer to it as the hot stove. You mentioned that to me just before we came. And I have heard of that, but I wasn't 100% sure what it meant.
Well, it's because it's the cold months. And so everyone's sort of gathers around the warm stove to keep warm. And while you're gathering around, you're making trades, adding players, dropping players. It's the hot stove season.
So this is the stuff that you're obviously completely on top of, that you probably assume, and rightly so, that I have absolutely little knowledge of. So what are the big moves? Who are the teams in the red and who are the teams in the black?
Yeah, I'll walk you through who I think the winners are. And one, it sounds like a total homer statement, but I think the Red Sox had a really, really strong offseason. They went out and got Sonny Gray. They went out and got Ranger Suarez. They didn't lose either of their two really big pitching prospects in Connelly Early or Peyton Tolley. So they've got those guys in the back, but they have a nice, strong rotation. The player I really like who they went out and got was Wilson Contreras to play first base for them. If you remember last year, they had a lot of difficulty at first base. Casas got injured, and now they've got someone who's going to be really solid there. They lost Bregman, but the other big player who's not a big name, but I think could actually be a difference maker for the Red Sox, is Caleb Durbin, who's going to play third base for them. And now you're going to get a full year of Roman Anthony. So Red Sox, really good. I think the Tigers did really well. There was a lot of talk that they may offload Tarek Skubal because he's about to come up for free agency and they wanted to potentially maximize the return for that. Yep. But to their credit, they've decided to hold on to him and they doubled down and went out and got Framber Valdez, who previously pitched as the ace for the Astros. Yep. So now all of a sudden they've got those two. And then they went and brought back an oldie but a goodie in Justin Verlander. So all of a sudden that rotation is looking quite strong. And I still think Verlander has some in the tank.
Oh, I'm interested to hear your view on that, because obviously, you know, injuries has been a big issue for him as he's got older and older. And yet when he is healthy, he still seems to have his stuff.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think compare him to Scherzer, who still may be coming back this year. I think that Verlander still has some of the velo, some of the ability to be a back of the rotation type starter and to really help that Tigers rotation, not only in terms of what he does on the mound, but in terms of his know-how and that presence that he brings.
I wanted to ask you that because, I mean, drawing a parallel between football and baseball, you know, a lot of the criticisms of my team, Chelsea, this season is a lack of leaders, a lack of maturity, a lack of experience. How big a deal is it, particularly in the pitching world, is to have someone with his Cy Young credentials and his personality? How big a deal is that in terms of the youngsters coming through the system in Detroit?
Yeah, I mean, most of their starters are pretty well established at this point because you also have Casey Mize in that rotation. They've been around. But when you have a person of that stature, you're often going to them. I mean, baseball is a game of continuous learning, right? And the way we approach the game changes year in, year out. It's been 10 years now since I played. I can't believe it's been that long. But I look at the way people approach the game now, it's completely different. I mean, in a decade, it's turned over completely. But Verlander is a guy who can bring some of that old school knowledge and be able to meld it with what you need in order to be successful today. And I just say, you know, the East is really interesting, the AL East, because you've also seen activity with the Orioles. They went out and got Pete Alonso from the Mets. So that's a huge
That's a
offensive
massive
boost,
pickup, isn't it?
as is Taylor Ward, who you don't think of in the same way, who played for the Angels, hit over 30 home runs last year. Pretty good player in terms of his plate discipline. So he'll walk a bit, hit a lot of home runs. So that offense has definitely been raised. And then you got the Blue Jays, who obviously were so good last year, and they're coming back in and have made some changes as well, too, bringing in Dylan Cease. You know, Savage is starting, I believe, on the DL on the IL, so that's going to be a loss. But I think that they're, you know, they lost Bo Bichette, but overall, I think that they're going to be very competitive too. So I think that division is the one where you look at and you think, wow, there's a lot done. The other team that really went out there, and I swear to God, rearranged more deck chairs than any other team, were the Mets, who went out and got guys like Freddy Peralta, Bo Bichette, Luis Robert Jr., Marcus Semien. They obviously lost Edwin Diaz. Lost Brandon Nimmo, lost McNeil, who had been a big player for them. So huge turnover in that lineup. And then the final
But
team you
was
have
it
to
a
talk.
positive turnover? Because some of the names you just mentioned, there's players in decline, there's aging players, there's players who've had injury issues there. That these are none of them are what you'd call out and out guaranteed studs.
Yeah, in my mind, and David would slap me silly for this, I think that unless these players hit their upside, that it's not a net positive.
No.
So there's certainly,
Especially
you
when
know,
you've lost Alonso.
yeah. I mean, Luis Robert Jr., when if you look at the top of his game when he wasn't injured, fantastic. Semien before he got old and just broken down, fantastic. Bichette has had injury issues. So, you know, you're losing Edwin Diaz. That's a massive loss. You're losing Alonso, as you said. So a lot of questions there. And obviously, the other team that shockingly you couldn't think could get better are the Dodgers, who did precisely that and going out and spending a bucket full, a barrel full, a Brinks truck full of money on Kyle Tucker, and then also went out and got Edwin Diaz to try and improve that bullpen that was the one struggle on that team last year. Now you have a closer who is one of the top two or three in the game at that, and you bring in another bat like Kyle Tucker, allows them to move Teoscar Hernandez in the outfield and gives them a lot more stability as well too. So a lot of action in the offseason and a lot to look forward to.
So obviously, from a National League perspective, definitely a win-win for the Dodgers. Question marks, despite all the deck chair moving for the Mets. Anybody else that you see in the plus zone in the National League?
Well, I mean, I think the Cubs bringing in Alex Bregman will be really interesting. I'm not sure whether or not their pitching staff is going to be enough for them, but I think that was a pretty big pickup for them. Yeah, I mean, I think those are probably the biggest I'd go with.
Okay. Well, that's the winners. Who are the losers in the hot stove scenario?
I mean, the losers are the guys who just didn't do anything. You know, the teams like the Padres, I feel like they really needed to up their game a little bit. And more than anything, they stood still. The Yankees, to me, are another team where I think they only have one offensive player on their whole roster who's new. They went and they kept the players they had. They kept Grisham, they kept Bellinger, but they didn't really go out and get a real game changer. Now, I think they're really relying on the pitching staff to be improved with Gerrit Cole ultimately coming back this year, Luis Gill, who's going to be coming back this year. But if those players don't come back and sort of serve the purpose of almost being new to the rotation because they were out last year, I think they're going to struggle in a division where we've seen so much positive change.
I'm pretty sure Gerrit Cole's not due back for at least, what, 2 months, maybe even three.
I actually think it's shorter than that
Is it?
because,
Okay.
yeah, because I know he's already started, he starting to pitch in sort of simulated games now. So I think it may be a month or two.
Okay.
But that's okay, right? As long as they stay
Oh, no,
close.
100%, 100%. Buddy, I've got to ask you. This is a conversation I remember us having when we used to do Channel 5 baseball. And by the way, do you realize it's 18 years? We did that show for 12. It's 18 years since that show went off air. How
That
scary
makes
is
me
that, buddy?
absurdly sad.
Isn't that? I mean,
Yeah.
every time you see footage, you remind us we used to
Can we
be slim, we used
pause
to
for
be young.
drinks now for a couple of
Exactly.
shots? Yeah.
Exactly. Absolutely terrifying the other day when I realized that 18 years, and we only did the show for 12 years. I wanted to ask you because this was something I remember asking you when we did the show, and I just want to reiterate whether or not you still hold the same opinion. What is the relevance of spring training? Because I've been looking at the numbers, and obviously, it's not, you've got two leagues, and it's not one's national, one's American. It's all mixed up, isn't it? And I was looking at the teams that have done well. For instance, the Dodgers and the Braves are equal with 19 wins apiece. And, so they've had a really hot start. Now, does that suggest things are, I mean, we all know how good the Dodgers are, so let's ignore that one. But for me as a Braves fan, should I be optimistic on the back of those results? Or can you really not read anything into
You
spring training?
really cannot read anything into it,
Right.
right? You have split squad games. You have games where you're playing predominantly minor leaguers. The variables do not carry over. Where it has impact is on the margins. I think for the better players, a lot of them are just tweaking and fine-tuning. So on occasion, it's a suggestion. Like if your velo is down a tremendous amount, that's probably suggesting something for the regular season. But
Right.
for the vast majority of the established players, it's really just about getting into a groove, starting to get rhythm. Where it impacts are for those players who are on the cusp of either making the team or not making the team. A great spring training invariably leads to certain players getting onto that major league roster. And from there, it's just a question of good or bad. And then there's the injury piece, right? You're trying to avoid players being injured, and we see,
And you're trying to
in
get players back from injury and get some game
exactly.
time in them.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the old legal statement, it depends. So it really depends on the player, it depends on the team. But in terms of the win-loss, the tables, that really has no impact.
But it
I
can't be
really
a
don't think
bad
it has
thing.
any.
I mean, as a Braves fan, I'm so happy to see them with 19 wins, same as the Dodgers, rather than 5 wins and at the bottom of the table. Surely, just purely from a confidence perspective, at least that's a positive.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be a bad thing, whether it's a good thing of any meaningful import.
It's different. Yeah. Okay. And obviously, the uniqueness of spring training when you've got in a year like this year where you've just had the World Baseball Classic, how does that impact?
So that I think that has a bigger impact on individual players. Like I think of a guy like Jonathan Aranda or Luis Arraez, who had really good WBCs. That's an experience that's so different from spring training. Very intense, very meaningful. If you see strong performance there, you get a sense that you can build on that momentum because it's true game experience. It's not a split squad game in Peoria, Arizona, where you have 500 fans. These are major, major games with huge crowds at all the intensity of postseason. So I do think that if you look at the players who did well in that, there is value for them in terms of preparing, more so for the positional players than the pitchers. I think, most of the pitchers were so constrained by pitch counts and other factors that you're not going to see maybe that same sort of jump. And obviously there's the injury piece. I think probably the biggest name that I can recall being injured in the WC was Seiya Suzuki, who strained his a knee, strained a tendon in its knee. And so he's going to miss the start of the season. We didn't see the major injuries, though, as far as I recall, compared to the last WBC, where like Edwin Diaz was out for the whole season. And I remember Altuve got really injured. So dodged a little bit of a bullet, I think, this year more so.
So obviously that was a success, the lack of injuries, that's going to keep the teams happy. Was it in terms of ratings and the attitude, particularly of the American market, was it deemed to be a success? Obviously the US got to the final, that's got to be a good thing. They didn't win it though, Venezuela did, and there were great scenes. So what would you say out of 10 for the World Baseball Classic, the 2026 version?
Yeah, 9.75. I think it
Oh,
was,
wow. Seriously.
I think it was absolutely, they knocked it out of the park this time around. I
Right.
believe that the ratings were certainly through the roof. The energy was fantastic. The only reason it's not a 10, honestly, is Team USA, which is that they don't bring the energy and the verve and the desire that any of the other countries bring. What makes the World Baseball Classic so great right now are teams like Venezuela, the
Right.
Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Great Britain, Mexico, all the other teams who come there with a real joy and desire to represent the country. And that's saying a lot. Italy was probably the best story of the whole WBC. I mean, most of these were Italian Americans, but they brought the energy of Italy. You know, they had a cappuccino machine in the dugout. They were doing espresso and really took pride in representing their heritage country. And
That's
what was
fabulous.
even better was that Italy embraced it. You know, you had baseball on the back pages of the major newspapers in Italy. I mean, that's exactly what you want to see out of this. What is really disappointing, though, is America. I feel like there are exceptions. I feel like Bryce Harper is always in for this, but most of these players, I feel, think like, oh, this is kind of a fun sideshow. They don't care in the same way that, you know, that
There's not the same level of
Japan
passion.
cares, Chinese Taipei, Australia. I mean, every other country, it really means something to them. I mean, it is as big a deal as anything, and that's why it's been so great.
Is
But
it,
that's
is this someone,
also the limiting factor.
JC, is this a US malaise? Because I wonder sometimes whether the US Ryder Cup team doesn't have the success it does because they don't seem to invest as much in it as a team sport as the European team do, who are so up for it and so into it and really want to win. And they're in tears when they lose and they're in tears when they win. Is this a bit of a US sport malaise when it comes to playing sports that they know they're really good at in the rest of the world?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether to extrapolate to make a broader point, but what I can say about US baseball, it's come a long way. I mean, I remember when we were doing the show and people like Mark McGwire would be like, this is an American sport. Like, why are we even bothering trying to do this elsewhere? We've come a long way from that, certainly. But we have not got, you know, when Tarek Skubal said, I'm going to throw the first game against Great Britain and then I'm done with this, at that point, you're like, okay, he's not vested in this. You know, he's doing it as an accessory, right? Like, oh, look at
Do they
my
get paid,
earrings.
by the way?
There is money. Yeah, there's definitely money
Okay.
involved. Not for players of that stature, it's not the difference making. But again,
Because you know
you
the
know,
US Ryder Cup team now are paid.
yeah. I mean,
I mean, and they insisted upon it. I mean, it was a big thing this issue. I mean, to me, talk about handing an advantage to the European team who, without exception, all just said we're honored to be playing and representing Europe.
To me, I think of it, you look at each of the other countries and you see the joy of being a part of that country. I've mentioned Italy. You see the dancing with the Venezuelans. You don't see it. It's relatively joyless with the Americans. There's some connection to like the military, which I personally don't like, you know, where it's like, let's do it for the troops, you know? I mean, what is that about? I just, that's not, I mean,
It's
well,
always been a very
obvious.
strong link between baseball and the US
It's
armed forces,
American
and
sport.
also,
American sport in general, right? You
American
know,
sport in general.
you got, you know, the jets flying over the Super Bowl and all that sort of
And it's not
stuff.
just the
It's,
forces, is it? It's the, you know, it's the police, it's the fire brigade, it's the Coast Guard,
yeah,
it's everybody.
and that was moving during 9/11, certainly, where it was, you know, our sports are here to support first responders. But I'm not sure this strikes the right tone. I think it diminishes America on the sports stage, on the baseball stage.
Interesting.
And I really hope that they get it right the next time around. Not necessarily get the best players, but get the players who can be most vested in the experience. And honestly, I think they'll have a better chance of winning it. They've only won it once in 2017. I think that that is the limiting factor. These other teams just simply want it more. And I think it makes a difference. All these players are great players. Player for player, the US team is the best roster, but these other teams, the sum of the parts are greater than the individual
And
parts.
therein lies the proof, because I looked at the lineup in the US teams on more than one occasion for different games, and I'm like, how the hell's anybody living with this lineup? I mean, it's just stacked from top to bottom with elite players. As you rightly say, it's a team sport. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how good the individuals are. If they don't bond as a team, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win.
Yeah, and I don't want, I just as a final point, I don't want to be too critical. Like, I wasn't in the locker room. I don't know to what extent. It's just the way they presented themselves on the field. That was
Well,
my
if you want to
interpretation.
finish on an up, talk to me
Yeah.
very quickly about Great Britain, because I
Love
understand
it.
they did well enough to not have to qualify. They're already in for the next one.
Yeah, and you know, they played tough in the games that they lost. I mean, they had an incredibly hard pool, right? You're playing against the US, you're playing against Mexico, you're playing against Italy, which turned out to be the real sleeper. Great team. And then they got the win against Brazil, the game they had to win. Love the team. I'm so happy for Brad Marcelino, a former teammate of mine on the Great Britain national team, is the gaffer, who's the manager of the team. I just hope that we can continue to build on it. I get very discouraged by some of the chatter. Oh, these players, they don't really care. They're, Jazz Chisholm's a bohemian extract. He's not, these aren't real British players. Why aren't our players from our national league playing? Let's just be honest, like that we have these players that care enough to represent the country. Just applaud for that. There is money that comes through our continued involvement in WBC and continuing to qualify that could be used for grassroots. Great Britain just announced the British Baseball Federation, they're going to start a national U16 league. I wouldn't be surprised if some of that has to do with this success. So there are the right steps being made. We should always be behind the team that's chosen for this. We follow the rules that are required for the WBC. And I'm just really grateful those players want to represent the country. I know from my own personal experience, right? I mean, I was born in the UK. I was pretty much one of the first import players ever to represent Great Britain at a European championship. And I ended up moving there. I ended up not only doing TV, but playing in the domestic league. There is that possibility for these players, and players do that. Once you get a taste of British baseball and you've represented the country, there's more of a chance that you're going to get involved and help. So, to all the haters, I would ask you just, turn the volume down. I don't think that that's the majority, but there are enough out there, and just be grateful that we've got the team that we have, and continue to support them.
Buddy, I 100% agree. And for anybody who is out there with a different view, rewind it 25 years to where we are now, and we're in a much better place. So, okay, let's move on. Last and
Just to say, the reason is because 25 years ago, I was representing GB. Now look at the players that you have. You've taken it next level.
on the money. That wasn't the reference I was making, but yeah. Okay. Let's look ahead. Let's look ahead to the season. We always do this as our for our opening show. Let's round things up with just a quick chat about who you fancy. I mean, I don't need you to give me a team in every division if you don't want, but just talk to me about who you anticipate seeing in the postseason and perhaps even make a prediction who's going to be in the World Series.
Okay, well, I'm actually going to go division by division because
Okay.
I did my homework, Goldie. I know you didn't. I did my homework. So I think my big surprise, and I alluded to it in the priest or the hot stove performance, I think the Red Sox in the East. I really like the Caleb Durbin. I think if Marcelo Mayer and Roman Anthony have great seasons, they're going to be a strong team. I do like the Blue Jays and the Yanks coming wild card out of that division. I think
Okay.
the Tigers with Valdez and Verlander are coming. And I actually think Jansen's going to be okay being their closer in the Central. And I think the Mariners, Brendan Donovan coming on to play second base for them. He's a real pro's pro. He's going to really help them defensively up the middle. So I think that's good. In the
Okay,
National League,
before you go to the
okay, you going to do your
National League,
American League? Go,
yeah,
go, go.
I'll throw in my sixth place. I'm really glad you went with Boston in the East because otherwise we're completely mimicking each other.
Okay.
Because I'm with you, I'm Tigers and I'm Mariners, in the Central and the West respectively. But no, I'm gonna stick with the Blue Jays in the East. I'm gonna stick with the Blue Jays for all the advances the Red Sox have made. I still think the Blue Jays are the team to beat. So and I loved what they were up to last season. I really enjoyed sort of them being my second team. So go Blue Jays. Okay, move on. National League.
That's it. I was just one team. Okay. I'm gonna give the full slate. Like, it's all I got. I just emptied the tank on that one. The American League.
Literally.
Okay. National League, tough in the East. I know we talked about the Mets and just the total roster turnover. So I see them in the wild card. I see the Phillies with the greater stability. They've gotten rid of Castellanos, who I think was a bit of a distraction last year. So I think they're gonna be good. In the Central,
Who are you going with then? Who do you think is going to win the division?
Phillies. I'm
The
going with the
Phillies, right?
Phillies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry to the
Sorry.
Braves. I
Sound,
just,
yeah. No, 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 no.
I mean, I think the Braves are going to be better, but I'm just not convinced yet. I
Yep.
still think, Strider has not had a good spring training. Schwellenbacher is out again. I'm not Sale if he stays healthy. They've got pieces, but they could be good, but I'm not picking them. I'm picking the Cubs if they're pitching. Imaga, if Boyd, Matty Boyd has another good season, if Justin Steele comes back, but the Brewers has to be the team for that division still. They lost Freddie Peralta, but I just like their offense. I think one of the real surprise teams, though, Maybe it's not that much of a surprise, but I do like the Pirates this year. I think
Okay.
they did a good job going
I
out
think you said
and
that
get.
last year.
Did I? I don't
Yeah,
know.
I'm pretty sure you did. Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I like Ryan O'Hearn. I think he's a good power hitter. He's going to help them in low A as well too. And obviously in the West, I mean, the Dodgers are just they're great, and I don't know how they got greater, but they somehow are an even better team this year than they were last year. And they had some down performances. Like if Tanner Scott comes back and is a good setup man for Edwin Diaz, and all of a
Yeah.
sudden you have a bullpen that you can rely
Rely
on
on.
to go
Yeah.
along with their, 12 great starting pitchers and an
I was
offense
going
that's
to say
adequate. I'll
they've
talk
got at
about.
least a 6-man rotation again, haven't they?
They're planning on going six man again. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's amazing when you have a guy like Roky Sasaki and you don't even have to worry about whether he's good or not. I mean, if he ends up not having another struggle of a season, you're still fine. Most teams, you always think like, well, if so-and-so does well, and if that guy does well, then everything could coalesce. The Dodgers have so much redundancy built in that they don't even have to worry about that at the same level as most other teams.
Yeah. Okay. Well, for me, National League East, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a Braves fan. I know we've got horrific problems in the rotation. There are a few chinks of light that I'm hopeful will get us enough innings. I just can't believe that Harris and Riley and Albies can be as bad as they were last season. And these guys are all, but Olsen, I think, could be a real top 10 player this season. Acuna's back. If he stays fully healthy, he's potentially top three. That's a hell of a hitting lineup. I really love the new kid that's come through as the catcher, Goodman. I know potentially might even be platooning initially with Murphy, but I think he'll be getting the majority of the at bats.
You're talking
So,
about Drake Baldwin.
yes. Sorry, yes, yeah.
Good,
Yes, that's
Goodman,
right. Yeah.
Goodman is another good young catcher. He plays for the Rockies, though.
The Rockies, yeah. Sorry, I'm getting confused because I drafted Goodman. That's why I drafted Goodman. Yes, sorry. I'm talking about the other young catcher that came through last season with the Braves. I just think that hitting lineup from top to bottom. I can't believe we're gonna have the problems we had from last season in terms of down seasons and injuries. So if we stay healthy, I think that hitting lineup is good enough to win the East. So I'm gonna stay loyal to the Braves. No question, for me, the Phillies are the wild card and the Mets, of course, are the danger. I don't see the Nationals or the Marlins competing. In the Central, again, I'm with you. I think I'm going Brewers. I couldn't really choose between Brewers and Cubs. No, I'll go Cubs since you've gone Brewers. I'll go Cubs. And in the West, you can't get beyond the Dodgers. But I have to say, again, it just astounds me how well the Giants do. It astounds me how often they are certainly competitive for at least the first three quarters of the season. And they've started really well in spring training. So I'm just going to say they're my dark horse. They're my dark horse.
The one team we didn't talk about in the American League about dark horses are the A's. Their offense is comparable,
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Langoliers, Kurtz, Wilson, Soderstrom. I
Well, when
mean,
you
that's.
consider that everybody just thought that, given all the issues about, where they're going to be playing, that this is just a team that the ownership just don't give a monkey's about.
Well,
And
but
yet these youngsters came through from last season that were absolutely superstars.
That's been their advantage, right? They're playing in an offensive environment in Sacramento that's almost comparable to playing in Colorado. It's
Yeah.
just a bandbox. It's such a small stadium. So all those players have gotten tremendous offensive bounce. The question, of course, is whether they're going to have enough pitching to be competitive. But offensively, you look up and down that lineup and you're like, man, these guys can, Rooker. I didn't mention
Yeah.
Rooker or Butler. I mean, this is a team just top to bottom, guys who can hit. So I'm really, I, it'll, they'll be a fun team to watch.
So talking postseason, we've talked about who we anticipate. I mean, let's just focus on the World Series. Is it for the Dodgers to lose? I mean, are they just that good?
Yeah, I mean, how could you not pick them again? Doesn't mean that it's going to happen. I mean, we had this discussion every time we get into the postseason, which all of a sudden it's just completely different. You watch the World Baseball Classic and you see upsets in a singular game, even in a short series, five game, seven game series, all these teams are good enough to make it go their way.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to pick a World Series champion. But if you want to pick the team that should be favored, it is the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, and they are. I mean, the bookies. I was looking at the odds because I always have a couple of teams every season at the beginning of the season. I think they're like 11-4. I don't think I've ever seen a team that low the pre-season before the season's even started. They're
Yeah.
11-4 to win the World Series. I mean, it's less than 3-1.
Yeah.
You know, and
I
there
mean,
are 30 teams. I mean.
I am with you. I enjoyed the Blue Jays so much last year. I just the way they play baseball, it's a little more old school, right? Put the ball in play, don't strike out as much, play good D. It'll be interesting to see how well Jimenez does. Andrés Jimenez was injured for most of the last season. He was a pretty damn solid player when he played for the Guardians. And now he's going to be moving over to shortstop. If he could sort of regain a little bit of that, that's going to be a major bonus for that team.
Well, who is the only, who's a dark horse then? This is my last question to you before we round this up. Is there anybody out there you think that might just come from nowhere that might be a big prize preseason? Who would you have your money on as a potential dark
I mean,
horse?
that was the Pirates for me.
It
I
was.
definitely
Okay.
think, yeah. I mean, there are a couple of teams I think are going to do quite a bit better, but they're still going to be terrible, which are the White Sox and the Rockies. I
Right.
think that both those teams have improved quite a bit, and they were so horrific last year. I mean, the Rockies were just terrible, and I just think that that team is marginally better. They went out and got a few Lorenzen and Sugano and Quintana. They got a little bit of a better pitching rotation, though. They're just going to be, grist for the mill because
Who would
pitching.
go to Colorado, though? If you're a pitcher, I mean, talk about killing your numbers.
Well, it's a chance for a major league gig. I mean, you look at those guys, and it's like they're not front end guys, but could they be grinder inning eaters and hope that you just outbop other teams and pitch well on the road? That's kind of the goal.
But have you heard anything on the London series? Is it definitely dead and buried? We're not ever going to see another London series.
I mean, I haven't heard anything. We've got next year, right? Is the I mean, that was another big story that Tony Clark left as the head of the Players Association. He had a scandal and got pushed out. I don't know much about the person who replaced him other than he had been part of the Players Association. That negotiation's going to determine whether there's a London series, determine whether we're going to have a lockout at the end of the season. I mean, baseball is in for very choppy waters, so I would recommend anyone listening to this really enjoy this year, because I think next year we'll get off to a rocky start. But the hope is that in all those negotiations, two things happen. One, the London series comes back. Two, everyone agrees to double down on the World Baseball Classic, whether that means moving it to mid-season and taking a longer break to allow players at the height of their skills to be playing in that, or some other way to make it easier for players to play, right? That was the one downside. I gave it a 9.75. I probably should have just given it a 9, because the other factor that was negative about the World Baseball Classic was the insurance issue. A lot of players were unable to play because their insurance companies were unwilling to back them. So the
Even
teams
though
were,
spring training's begun, so it's basically spring training.
yeah, but they felt like it's more high intensity at the wrong time of
Oh.
season. So basically, teams without the insurance
Yeah. Or
support
players,
were unwilling to allow players to play, and that was really heartbreaking. So that brings it down to a 9, actually, because that was that. But I was thinking of it once it started; it was so fantastic. But that was a real downer before the actual
JC,
tournament
I'm right
began.
in saying that the player agreement is only to the end of this season, so potentially we could have a strike. Potentially, we could have
I
no
mean,
baseball in
everything
2027.
I've heard is that there will probably be a lockout for some period of time. It'll be more the owners trying to press the issue.
Right.
They desperately want salary cap, something to sort of prevent salaries from continuing to grow. So the question is will there be an agreement? There'd be fools. Baseball has come a long way since the last work stoppage in terms of its value and people's love of it. Otherwise, it's going to be banana ball from here on out. It's going to be the Savannah Bananas in their league, because people are just going to leave Major League Baseball.
I'm going to leave you with one thought. Todd Boehly, obviously, still part of the management and ownership of the Dodgers. Yes,
I don't know.
I believe so. And
Okay.
obviously, he's one of the major owners of Chelsea Football Club. How can you get it so right in one sport and so wrong in the other? I mean,
Well,
it's a shambles, mate. It's a complete shambles.
honestly, those two sports, just the economics of them
Yeah.
and the way you approach roster development is very different, right? And I think that's part of it, is that.
Trying to apply the rules of one to the other, which
Exactly.
is never going to work.
Because I always get that question, when John Henry bought Liverpool and all that sort of stuff, like, oh, what does it mean? And it means very little, because the sports are so different and the approach has to be, because of the nature of roster construction, is very different.
Buddy, I'm going to leave you with one final thought. Before we started doing this, I did something I've never done before, and I can't believe I've never done it before. I went on your Wikipedia page. And, buddy, I've known you and loved you like a baseball brother for 20 plus years. I had no clue how much you've done in your life. how much you've achieved, the awards you've received. I mean, I knew you played a bit of curling, and I knew you'd written a few books, and I knew you'd presented the show. Oh my Lord, my friend, I'm honored to
Why
just
did
be
you
in your
do that?
shadow.
What were you doing? Were you
I
like
don't know. I was
smoking the
thinking,
crystal meth and like,
never.
oh, let's look at Josh?
No, it was more just, I thought I'll do a bit of research,
Who
something
is this
you
man
assume
I've
I
been
never
talking
do.
to for 20 years?
I know. Why change the habit of a lifetime, eh, buddy?
Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely.
absolutely.
Oh,
No,
thanks, buddy. Here.
I wanted you to know I was very proud to be able to call you my friend, my friend.
Cheers. Right back
It was
at you, my
awesome.
friend. Best
Right.
auctioneer in all the world.
Yeah.
Yes, number
I'm
one.
about 345 million now, buddy. Career total. That's
Amazing.
not too
Amazing.
shabby, is it? Not too
It's
shabby.
time for Queen's Hon or King's Honors now.
Oh, if only. Yeah, no, I think we can safely say that's never going to happen for various reasons that we won't go into at
You'll
this
get
point.
Josh's honors. I don't think you get a sir at the front of your name,
Yeah,
but you get honors.
exactly, mate. Buddy, thank you so much for giving up your time. I appreciate it. You're taking away from the family and stuff. Fingers crossed, we'll have Eric, we'll have Big Dave for our next, and we're going to basically do what we've done for the last three or four seasons. We just get together as often as possible, probably every 3 or 4 weeks, and just
Yeah,
do an
and
update and talk baseball, man.
the big question is, where will Johnny Gould be next time
Ex
we chat?
exactly. Due to be in Dubai by the 29th of April, but
Crazy.
world wars allowing, we'll have to see. We'll have to see.
Yeah,
My dear
sounds
friend,
great.
thank you for joining me. Thank you, everybody, for listening in. You've just been listening to the 2026 season of the Giant Josh podcast, episode 1. Great to have you company. Till next time.